to Hero Hype, episode 14. This is Hypebo.com's superhero podcast for all your superhero needs. I'm Marima.
And I'm Danya.
And we have a bit of a mixed bag for you this week. We're going to give you a brief history of the Suicide Squad because we've got some Suicide Squad news to talk about. You're going to get some comic book recommendations for you Age of Ultron fans. And we have a lot of Age of Ultron news and just Whedon-specific news. So we will get to all of that. But before we do, it's time for television, as always. We're really wrapping up these shows now. This is crazy. Like, I can't believe that this first season of The Flash is almost over.
I know. It seems like it's gone. It seems like it's gone really fast.
It's gone in a flash. Classic joke. As we're recording this, the new episodes of The Flash and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have just finished airing, so we haven't watched them yet, if you're wondering why, and obviously Arrow has not aired yet. So I think next week everything will be done, so we'll probably do a really big TV-themed week. We might wait until we record, make sure everything's done. We might have on some guest hosts. We'll see. Because then, yeah, the TV is kind of all wrapped up for the season, which is crazy to think about that we're so far ahead.
But we've got plenty of movies still. Still to come.
Oh yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what's been going on in Flash and Arrow first of all. Anyway, before we jump into the movie news, because. Yeah, I think The Flash is going strong, I would say. I'm still on Team Flash compared to Arrow. I think Arrow is still struggling this season. This whole storyline, I talked about it last time, I'm so not buying it with Oliver as the demon's head. I just still don't buy it. And last week's episode, we had Oliver returning back to kill Nyssa, and I have so many issues about that storyline, like so many. But I do love Laurel and Nyssa's friendship that they have going on.
Yes.
That is fantastic. Oh. And I liked seeing, there were some really good moments, like Felicity and Laurel have had a few good moments lately, and then Felicity and Thea, and like all the ladies hanging out, that's great. But like, what the hell is happening with Arrow that, okay, Nyssa was going to be killed and just no one batted an eye about that, and now they're getting married? Excuse me? Not from a shipping point of view, but like, could she be any more of a plot point at this, you know, time in the series? This has become insane. Like, this is actually ridiculous. I'm furious about this.
The thing that I kind of took as like a little bit of an undertone was from basically Ra's not approving originally of Nyssa and Sarah's relationship. Like, you always got that kind of contention between them, that he didn't fully approve of that, because you got that through this entire season and a little bit. I guess a little bit, like they dropped hints about it in the previous season as well. But it kind of, this is going to be stupid, it kind of makes sense in terms of it coming from Ra's, that he would be pushing Nyssa into something like this. I will say that I'm maybe not completely sold on the storyline, but it isn't completely unfounded in terms of the character of Ra's, because we've already had that kind of, I guess, underlying theme of him not accepting who Nyssa truly loved.
Right.
And wanting to push her into something else. So,
yeah.
While I don't like it in terms of, I think Nyssa is better than an arranged marriage kind of thing, and I think that, obviously, the whole thing with this is her having her own agency and her own choice for who she gets to love, who she gets to marry. I don't think it's completely out of the realms of possibility, like, that it's something Ra's would and is doing, because it is him. This is all being kind of like puppeteered by him. And it kind of, yeah, I guess it poses an interesting, is he homophobic question?
Right. I don't disagree with any of that, but that's not my issue. My issue is that Ra's is the bad guy on the show, that's fine, so he's making these terrible decisions. Why hasn't anyone else on this show said, hey, you know, it would be crazy. The girl who was raised to be the demon's head, like, does her job that she was basically born to do. Like, the fact that none of the quote unquote good characters on this show have even raised that as a possibility frustrates me to no end, because I just can't imagine. I mean, people can get mad at me, but like, I can't imagine that it would be so easily dismissed if it was a guy, like if it was his son, you know? Like, forget about her. I mean, you can forget about the love, like her and Sarah, whatever. Like, even if the son was gay, I just can't imagine that it would be so easily dismissed, because it would be seen as an even fight between Oliver and whatever his name is. You know, like the fact that no one has addressed that's what makes me mad. Because yeah, of course, it's totally within Raz's character. Like, Raz is an asshole, and like he's the worst person, as we've seen on what's apparently going to happen this week. Is finally we have a reason for all of these Hong Kong flashbacks, and Oliver gets to kill everyone. Great. But just the fact that like it hasn't been addressed, and that going forward, I'm sure the issue will be, oh, but Oliver can't get married because Oliver and Felicity, not because what about Nyssa? Like, you know, at this point, I would rather. I mean, it sounds so terrible, but like, Nyssa would show more agency at this point if she was like, I'm not participating in this, and, you know, removed herself from the situation, however that happened, you know, versus like just going along with whatever. It's, yeah, it's super frustrating. And I just. I mean, what do you think? Like, do you think Oliver has been brainwashed at this point, or is he playing along with Raz's
This
game?
is it's really, really hard to know which way around it is.
I'm saying he's playing along.
Yeah, I'd be more likely to lean towards he's playing along, but this does address the question that we had previously, which was, you know, us kind of going, why did he just not do it, take over, and then be like, okay, guys, disbanded, that's it, it's over, kind of thing. Well, this kind of addresses why that wasn't a thing, is because they could brainwash him, et cetera, so it's not as straightforward as that, because he still has to go through all the trials and tribulations of actually becoming the next,
Yeah, and also because
demon.
Roz is like still in charge, basically. You
Yeah.
know, he's
Yeah.
teaching Oliver. And also the fact, I mean, I just need to rage about this. Like, the fact that Oliver can beat Nyssa in a fight when he's had like 3 weeks of training and she's had like 20 years of training, please. You know, I understand
Yeah.
they're trying to make the point of like he's really on the top of his game and like she's lost it or whatever, but so poorly done. I don't know. I
I
think, you know what?
honestly,
No, go
yeah,
ahead. You go ahead.
that's fine. I was going to say, I honestly agree with you, and I think, and I have thought through this entire season that Nyssa is the perfect heir to the demon. Like,
Right.
she, you know, like, and I think we've brought it up before that that was what I was hoping would happen, is eventually that she would take over. Like, by the end of the season, that would have been her storyline, is that she would have gone through, and by the end she would have taken over completely. So
I
yeah,
mean, I
it is
guess
something that I
technically
really
it still could go that way.
it
I would, if they
could. Who
did go that
knows?
way, like that would be such a great bait and switch. I would apologize for many of my critiques of this particular storyline, but I don't see how it would. I don't know.
Can I hold out hope that that's what they'll do?
Yeah, of course.
Like,
Of course. Well,
crossing my
that's what
fingers.
this whole podcast is about. We also did
Yeah.
have a little bit of a tease of what's going to happen in season four of Arrow, because Raz, when he was giving his like many soliloquies about oh his poor life, dropped the name Damien Dark, and it seems like he's going to be, well, he kind of has been the big bad. We just didn't know it, but it seems like he is going to be sort of the big bad of season four going forward. So I'm not sure what that says for, you know, what Oliver will be up to, but the hint is that he's also going to be Felicity's dad. That seems to be the going theory. What do you think about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that is the going theory. And I actually think that would bring a really interesting theme into season four, which is like that kind of another kind of familial relationship, which I love the way that Arrow addresses those relationships and like how like Felicity and her mum kind of interact and how Oliver and his parents had interacted. And like, I really, really love those themes. So it being that potentially Felicity is the daughter of like a supervillain, the supervillain, and she is so strong in her convictions and in what she believes in. So yeah, I think it would be really, really interesting to see them kind of butt heads almost and come up against each other.
Do we not think it's a little similar to Thea's storyline with Malcolm? I mean, she literally has a line in this episode where she's like, my dad's a supervillain, you know, explaining. I mean, I'm not saying necessarily that I don't want to see this. I quite like the idea of this, but I'm just curious because it does seem at least reminiscent of what they've done with Thea.
Yeah, I mean, very, very slightly. However, I think it comes from, like, I guess different ways in that Thea, for all intents and purposes, has and had another father as well, mm-hmm. who is the person who shaped who she is, who is the person who raised her, and who was, whether he was her biological father or not, her father. So, you know, it is coming from a different aspect in that Felicity, you know, didn't really know her father as far as we know. It was mostly just her and her mother. So I guess they could go with it in a different way. I'd like to see it. I'd like to know more about, like, Felicity's father. And I guess they could also draw a really interesting parallel versus, like, what Felicity was like during, like, her college years.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of trajectory that she started on versus where she turned herself around and where, like, I guess Damien Dark is.
Yeah.
You know, there's some really interesting parallels and themes that they can play on in it that mm-hmm. makes me kind of hold out hope that they would do something different than the Thea and Malcolm kind of storyline, because realistically speaking, there's not a lot of parallels between how Thea and Malcolm kind of are in terms of like how they are as characters, whereas there are probably more similarities, I guess, between Damien Dark and Felicity potentially. And it could be interesting to see what tips you into being a supervillain versus becoming a hero.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think my main concern with it is that it parallels the aspect of Thea's storyline that I really did not enjoy, which was basically about Thea being sort of a power play between Malcolm and Oliver. And I'm not interested in Felicity, like, being reduced. I would argue she has been, in some sense, reduced to less prominent character than she has been previously in season three. But I'm not really interested in seeing her as, like, this in-between character between Oliver and Damien, you know?
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah, that's because they did Thea's storyline so poorly. Like, they've really lost a lot of... I've lost a lot of confidence in them from how they've handled her storyline. Felicity has generally done... Like, she's fared better, I would say, than Thea has from the writers. So, yeah. You know, it could work out really well, but, like, just that I can't help but have this little voice in my head that's whispering, but remember Thea. So, we'll see.
I know. My hope would be, and what would be a really interesting thing for them to do is if he's unconcerned with Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, Oliver can kind of come up against him and try and stop him, but if he's unconcerned with Oliver and Felicity is his goal,
yeah.
That would be an interesting way of kind of subverting it.
Yeah,
like
totally
having
agree.
It be, yeah, having it be Oliver, the kind of person in the middle that's kind of being used as the power play, would be quite interesting.
Yes. Now, of course, all of that is dependent on what goes on with Oliver at the end of this season. The reason
yes.
that I am, like, not so sure that Oliver has actually turned for the bad side is because we keep seeing these flash previews where he turns up to help Barry. And I think that's kind of ruining the surprise. Like, okay, if Oliver Queen is dead, like, why is whatever your new name is helping out the Flash, you know? So we did have another teaser of that. That's all in all those, you know, the season is ending or whatever we keep seeing. And we saw those set photos as well of him.
Yeah.
So we know that's happening. The Flash at the moment, though, I think for the most part is still going really strong. It's had a lot better first season than Arrow did in many ways, and not just because it didn't stomp all over my heart with a certain character called Tommy. And I also really like, obviously we haven't had time to watch the new episode because it literally just came out, but it seemed from the last episode anyway that Iris is now clued in as to Barry's identity, which I think was a very, very good choice. And I think we talked about when they had the time travel episode, and I was a little frustrated because I kind of wanted to see a lot of the reveals that happened there. And I was like kind of annoyed that they then were like, just kidding, none of this actually happened. So I'm really liking seeing them happen in a different way, like how they manifest in the new timeline. And that in particular, I think, is a really good idea, because I think one of Arrow's big faults is their reliance on you know, the secret identity, like the tension caused by that, by like keeping the identity secret from family members or loved ones or whatever. Like, that has really been sort of a crutch for Arrow T's. So I'm excited. Hopefully that means, you know, they're going to kick that out from The Flash. And I think that's a really good move going forward. It means you don't get distracted by that stuff and you can really focus on the Reverse Flash showdown, which is going to be so exciting. I'm really into this. This looks so good, right?
Yeah. I'm super, super into, like, the direction that The Flash is going in. Like, I'm super into The Flash. It's just so unapologetically fun, and I love every second of it. And now that it's addressed the one massive niggling issue that I had, which was Iris still being in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Right. Yeah.
Seriously, hallelujah. I'm so glad that she's in the know, because potentially what this will lead to is, you know, a knock-on effect of her being able to make informed choices about things, whether that's as has been the last couple of episodes, whether that's who she marries versus does she stay with him versus does she get fully involved in everything that's going on with the Flash. You know, that's as much her choice as it is everyone else's as well to involve her. Like, she has as much of a say in what she should be doing in regards to this.
Yeah.
You know, rather than everyone making those choices for her, and she did not know all of the information or all of the vital information to make an informed choice about it. So now that she kind of knows, now that we've had that moment, hopefully it will continue to just like keep elevating itself from here, because it was the one little thing that I had a problem with, and they've addressed it, and now I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we had a really good article on Hypeable from Caitlin, who has been a Hero Hype guest host. She comes on to talk about The Flash and Arrow with us. She wrote a great article about The Flash and its issues with the overprotective father trope. So if you are a Flash viewer, I definitely recommend you check that out. That's pretty in line with the kinds of things we talk about on Hero Hype. And we love Caitlin's thoughts. So I totally agree. I think for me that was like one of the big, really the big problem. And I would really love to see Iris be part of the team at Star Labs. You know, I think she offers something really valuable, especially now they don't have Wells. She offers something really valuable that the other two like nerds over there don't really have. It would be a fun time. And like you said, I just like to see people be clued in so that they can make decisions rather than having decisions made on their behalf. So anyway, it's all happening. Oliver, what have we got? Next week is the Arrow finale. That is My Name is Oliver Queen. Of course, there's still an episode to air this week. And then...
Love that title.
My Name is Oliver Queen. Yeah, he's definitely on the bad side. All right, guys.
Take a shot.
Yeah.
And save this city.
Seriously. And then The Flash wraps up the week after. So it runs an episode... I mean, they have the same episodes, but they had breaks in different places. So, yeah, The Flash finishes after that. So I wonder if the tie-in episode, I think, is, like, the same time as... I think the tie-in episode is the second last episode of The Flash, I want to say. But maybe it's the last one. I'm not sure. Oh, we'll find out. It's very exciting. Anyway, and then over on the Marvel side, of course, we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., again, that episode just aired, so we haven't watched this week, so if you're wondering why we're not talking about it. But next week we have the two-hour extravaganza finale. So,
yes.
You know, that will be an exciting time. I'm kind of bummed that we haven't seen this episode, because I really wanted to talk about how it tied in with Age of Ultron. But I guess we'll get to that next time. Although, my understanding has been from, like, people who have seen the episode, one of our writers saw a screener for Scars, is that it doesn't really, not as dramatically as the Winter Soldier, really altered what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was about. So it doesn't have as dramatic repercussions, but certainly I can think of a few things that happen in Age of Ultron that would probably trickle down to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. In general, though, like, I mean, it's basically the Inhumans hour at the moment over there. Do you like how it's going?
I'm loving.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the Inhumans storyline. I'm liking it's basically loads of kick-ass female characters taking charge, and I'm kind of really enjoying that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really, really liking the way that it's going. It was last week that Ward left Kara with them, right?
Yes.
That was quite interesting, because there had been a tease about someone like joining up with the team who hasn't been part of the team before, or someone returning, and I was like there going, ooh, what's going on there? And then when Kara joins up, I was like there going, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if that will stick though.
I don't know.
Like, I think,
but I'm liking...
they kind of played up their weird relationship a little too much for her to suddenly be like, yeah, okay, I'm going to hang out with the good guys now who hate you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm kind of liking this whole split loyalties kind of thing, where there's two whole factions of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, and there are agents falling one side or the other, and kind of what one do you go with, whose morals and whose guidance do you fall under, who has the stronger convictions? And
it's
this kind
like
of
a preview of a film that might be coming out soon in the Marvel world.
Yeah,
well, not so soon, but you know. Yeah,
soon enough.
Yeah, I agree, it is enjoyable, although, you know, I mean, people may have gathered from listening to this, like, I do get a little more excited about The Flash and Arrow than about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know why that is. But, I don't know. Maybe they're just a little more superhero-y. I kind of, you know, I like that. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a little more, I don't know, like it's like a cop procedural or something. So I'm enjoying all the Inhumans elements. They amp up that superhero factor, which is really what we're there for. I mean, come on, our podcast is called Hero Hype. Like, let's be real. Anyway, so all those shows, they're wrapping up next week and then the week after, and so we will be able to talk all about them on our next episode. So if you, I think, yeah, well, assuming there's no like huge breaking news, which there always is for movies, we'll try and do a bit of a TV heavy episode. So make sure you let us know what you think if you're watching them. You can always live tweet at us. We love when you guys do that as you're watching. It's always a good time, especially when we haven't seen the episode yet. Because
and
then
we're just
like
going, wait,
what's happening?
What is that referring to?
Yeah, what is happening? And then as we watch it, we get to like match it up with your tweets. I don't know if you do that, but I enjoy doing that.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah, so you can get us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast, and of course you can always leave us a comment in this podcast post on hyperwood.com. So that's it for TV for this week. Before we move on to our movie news, it's time for our brief history segment. This is a segment where we give you a brief history of a character or a group of characters who you need to be clued in about because of breaking news in the TV or movie world.
Everything about you just became so unbelievably clear.
And this week, it's none other than the Suicide Squad. So take it away, Dee.
So the Suicide Squad is an elite government strike team operating under Task Force X. The original Suicide Squad was a group of soldiers in World War II who were deployed on Dinosaur Island for a campaign known as the War That Time Forgot. Though they were officially called Squadron S, they adopted the nickname kind of Suicide Squad due to their high mortality rate. Rick Flagg Sr. joined the team as their leader and was fundamental in turning them around from a military disgrace to the elite unit they became known as. The squad continued to operate after the war, but disbanded after Rick Flagg Sr. sacrificed himself to destroy the War Wheel, which was a gigantic wheel that was spiked and heavily armored. The Suicide Squad was later revived by Jeb Stuart and led by Flagg's son, Rick Flagg Jr. This team was mostly used to go up against creatures like dinosaurs and Yeti, and it wasn't until Amanda Waller discovered the files on the team that it became a way for imprisoned supervillains to commute their sentences. Waller runs the organization out of Belrive Prison, and Rick Flagg volunteered to work under her, with a handful of villains including Deadshot and Enchantress being recruited to join. The lineup rotates, much like the Justice League, and they undertake highly dangerous missions, suicidal even. They are controlled by highly explosive devices that will detonate if they disobey orders, which means the government can also deny their existence, passing off their missions as random supervillain attacks.
Okay, so if you're wondering why we're telling you about the Suicide Squad, that is because, of course, we just had our first look at the whole cast. And last week, after we recorded, last 2 weeks ago, we got our first look at Jared Leto as the Joker in the weirdest, terriblest, worst, just Oh, I can't even just say words about it. Most tattooed supervillain we've ever seen. So yeah, it's all about Suicide Squad at the moment, and you know, not everyone is super clued in, although those Arrow fans will have a bit more of an idea. So what did you think, Dee? Because the overwhelming response seems to be everyone hates the ensemble look, like of all of them together, and then in equal parts, people hate and love the Joker's look. So I guess let's start with the Joker.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to start with the Joker.
Let's get that out of the way.
I don't completely dislike it.
Okay, well, that's a ringing endorsement.
I actually like some of the tattoos. I think some of them are kind of really, like a really interesting take to kind of differentiate between obviously this Joker versus Heath Ledger's Joker. I think it was a really, really interesting visual way to kind of like really move away from that and for Jared Leto to be able to make him his own. However, I'm not completely sold on the tattoo on his forehead that says damaged.
Yeah.
That's one of the few ones that I'm not too sold on, but I kind of like the demented, almost like carved looking ha 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 ha's all over him. What would have been really, really interesting for me is if he had actually literally carved those into himself.
Right. That's kind of what I was hoping for, something a little more. Because this guy, he just sort of looks like, I don't know, he's in like a sort of scene band. You know, you can sort of imagine him like in some kind of indie, like underground. The damaged tattoo is ridiculous. So I think everyone can agree on that. I'm just worried, this is what I'm worried about, that they are trying to go so far to distance themselves from Heath Ledger's Joker and from Nolan's Batman trilogy that they've made it ridiculous, you know? Like, they've gone so far out of the way to be like, but this is a different person, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, obviously, you know, you don't have to walk around in a hospital, like, gown and whatever, like Heath Ledger did, but yeah, I don't know. He kind of just looks more like a rebellious teenager, I guess. I don't get the, like, scary aspect of it. It just seems too ridiculous for me. But, you know, this is a fairly ridiculous photo with a fairly ridiculous pose, so I will suspend some judgment until I actually see him do something. Yeah,
I mean, the other part of this is going to be a lot of how he plays it off. I mean, a lot of those tattoos, we've got to remember, aren't, we're not going to be able to see them. They're going to be covered up by, like, well, whatever he's wearing. Unless they make him walk around shirtless.
Well, honestly, like, we don't know at this point, but I doubt they would put all of those tattoos on him if we're not going to see them at, you know, some point at least.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I can't imagine he's going to be walking around shirtless all the time. Maybe they're going to do like an update on his costume. Maybe have him in like a suit vest instead of like suit jackety kind of thing, so that you see maybe the ones on his arms more.
Yeah,
you know, there are ways that they could, you know, play around with it a bit, but you know. I guess it really, really depends on his demeanor and how they and how Jared Leto pulls this off for me. Like, that's what's going to sell the look more for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. So let's talk about some people who are actually in the Suicide Squad.
Yes.
All attention, you know, seems to be on the Joker, but just a reminder, guys, like, it shouldn't be his movie. He's not actually in the team. They are a little more toned down, I guess, color palette wise, but still, someone said they look like hot. They've dressed in Hot Topic, which is kind of accurate. So, killer cast, killer. we've seen, you know, we've seen a bit of, I guess, we've seen a certain level of enthusiasm either for or against some of these casting decisions, but it's the first time that we've seen them all. In their costume, doesn't seem like people like it, and I have to say I don't love it. But you know what? The more I look at them, the more it grows on me. Because I was looking at this earlier today, we were recording hype, and I was like, "No, I don't like it." And now I'm looking at it again, and it's not as bad as the initial reaction, I guess. But what do you think?
I'm kind of hit and miss on it. I saw some other pictures of Harley Quinn, particularly from the actual set. And one of my main worries about it is her shoes. Yeah. If you haven't seen them, because it's really, really hard to tell from the front-on photo, they are very, very, very thin stiletto heels. So when she turns to the side, it's like, it is so thin. It looks like they're going to snap if she tries to like do anything kind of physical, like kind of high kicks or that sort of thing. Like, they look like they're that thin. They look like they're going to snap. So I'm actually mostly worried because Harley Quinn is very athletic. Harley Quinn's really, really athletic. So I kind of thought maybe they'd give her, even if they hadn't gone with like flat shoes, because the thing with Harley Quinn, and I know a lot of people will have differing opinions on this, but Harley Quinn is a very highly sexual character in like her characters. So the really tiny short shorts is not out of the norm for her. Like, that is something that, you know, she would wear. She kind of she kind of moves between either being really overtly sexual to kind of almost in ways throw people off. So it's not completely out of the realms of like possibility that she'd gone with these little tiny short shorts. But
yeah, but we get it. She's shoes. A sexy one. Give her some normal shoes. Like, at least give her some shoes. Wedge heels. Jeez.
Yes, wedge heels would have been pretty cool because, you know, I'm vertically challenged. I know what it's like. I wear heels pretty much exclusively. However, if I have to do a lot of walking or a lot of physical activity, I wear a chunkier heel or a wedge.
And yeah, it means like I every normal stuff. Person. This so it means stuff news, like,
yeah. So I can do stuff like if my train is about to leave and I am like, you know, need to run for it, I can actually run in those shoes. Whereas if I was wearing those really, really thin stilettos, I wouldn't be able to do much of anything. So it'll be interesting to see. There's been rumors that her costume is going to change up a lot throughout the movie. So we'll see her with loads of different looks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I kind of like cool. the, I kind of like the play on her hair though. I kind of like the blue and pink. I don't know
I
why.
I like that.
I think it's really cute.
I actually quite like her costume. And like I said, I mean, except for like, some of them look like they've, I don't know, just walked off a varsity team or something. Like, it's a little too high school. It's a little bit too high school, some of these outfits. And Jai Courtney looks like he's just literally walked off the set of Insurgent and changed his hair. So, you know, some of them, I'm not totally buying it. Cara Delevingne, you can hardly see what she looks like, so
I want to see a better look at her because
yeah,
from
I
the
can't,
tiny,
it's hard to
tiny
judge her.
Sliver I can yeah, the tiny sliver I can see, I'm slightly interested in like what that costume's like properly, and like I didn't recognize her straight away. It took me a moment.
Oh
to,
really?
Like,
no, I can recognize those eyebrows anywhere.
But I really, really want to see a better look at her costume because the little bit that I can see from here, I'm kind of fairly interested in. You know, I want to see more. I kind of really dig Deadshot, though.
Really?
I don't know. I'm kind of liking the whole, like, bulked up military kind of look. The mask, maybe not so much. The, like, the headwear thing.
Yeah.
That kind of creeps me out a little bit.
Yeah. But, it's like kind of Silence of the Lambsy. Like,
but maybe that's what they're going for, like to really creep us out.
Yeah.
I mean, they are
maybe.
Super villains at the end of the day.
True. And you know what? Definitely cast Will Smith and then give him something that covers his entire face. Like, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's, like, I talked about this on Hype, but I will reserve judgment until I see them in action, because I think most superhero or supervillain costumes look pretty ridiculous in a static photo, and you really need to see, like, the movement and, you know, what it looks like on camera versus, like, just in a publicity shot, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, although, yeah, I mean, yeah, some of them look ridiculous and I can't get over that, but whatever, we will keep you guys updated as we find out more, but you know, seems to be where it's at the moment. Of course, we're not getting Suicide Squad until like next year, so we've got plenty of time to see how that develops. The other big piece of news for this week is that Martin Freeman is joining Captain America Civil War, because apparently there were not enough people in that cast yet. So, funnily enough, everyone's super excited because now they want him to be in a Doctor Strange scene, because Cumberbatch, of course.
Yeah.
But we don't know who he's going to play, which is a problem. But I think we can assume if it's Martin Freeman, it's not going to be like, you know, a 20-second role.
No, I'm just thinking there's going to be some really, no, there's just going to be some really weird fan fiction that comes
I mean, there
out
was for then. The Hobbit as well, like, you know, oh, the sexual tension between Bilbo and Smaug, like, can't you just cut it with a knife? No, stop. Like, I think my favorite response to this was someone was like, he's playing the new Spider-Man in Civil War. And I was like, middle-aged Spider-Man is a movie that I would watch.
Yeah, actually, do you know what?
Like, Spider-Man's the midlife crisis years, you know, he doesn't, like a normal guy, you know, buys like a Ferrari or something, but Spider-Man like has whole other ways of dealing with his crises. But yeah, we don't know who he's going to play, and it's kind of hard to judge until we do, but it just fuels my concern that there is 5,000 people in this cast and there is only one Captain America, and how is this possibly going to be a Cap film? I don't know, but I hold out hope that it won't be terrible, but my gut and every instinct tells me it's gonna be terrible. So yeah, we'll
see.
It
is getting a little crowded.
A little bit.
In, Civil War. Yeah, but my thing that I'm still like kind of thinking of is that, you know, they really, really need to beef up the needs in terms of like, even if they don't have massive parts, like, they need to have people on either side. Like, it's gonna be terrible. They need cannon fodder, basically. Mm-hmm. So yeah. that's my thought on it a little bit about why they're beefing it up so much. Is that, and the thing with Civil War is that it's a huge war. Like, not everyone's gonna make it out of this alive. And yeah, essentially, I'm seeing a lot of the people that they're adding in as cannon fodder. That's what I'm viewing this as currently. But yeah, we'll see. I guess as like filming is, it's either started or it's literally about to start.
Well, Chris Evans, I guess, hasn't started, but I think the second unit may have. They were supposed to start at the start of April, so who knows?
Yes. Yeah, so chances are, as they're out and about on set and people get to go and have like glimpses of things, we'll start getting like more of a vague idea in the direction that they're taking. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we shall see, as we said. I mean, it's hard to speculate when you don't know who he's going to be, but that's never stopped us before. Yeah. We'll just keep going. In our new Joss Whedon movie, we will not say on this podcast, rubbish would be a synonym. You know, he said in an interview that he found Twitter to be like distracting and that he only joined it to promote Much Ado About Nothing. Who knows why he quit or didn't quit, but like, you know, obviously you should never send abuse to anyone on the internet or like death threats. Yeah. I feel like that goes without saying, but I don't think there's anything wrong with critiquing someone's work. And, you know, if you're on Twitter, like, you can critique someone's work and you can direct that critique at the person. Like, that's how it works. So if you're not open to that, maybe Twitter is not the place for you. That said, of course, like, you shouldn't be sending like hate mail or anything to anyone, 'cause that's not okay. Like, doesn't matter who the person is.
Yeah, but agreed. Anyway. This is the thing, is I may or may not agree with the direction that he took for some of the female characters in Age of Ultron. And I believe, and I have seen other friends of mine who are, you know, very strong feminists and involved in speaking up for women, who took an opposite view to me. And I accept that. And, you know, the big thing about Age of Ultron, without going into major spoilers for anyone who hasn't been able to get out and see it yet, the biggest thing is that the biggest scene in question that a lot of people have issues with is so ambiguous and open to interpretation that there are two major splits in how people read that scene. Neither of them are wrong, necessarily. Both are very valid readings of the scene. I just don't think that we should necessarily be attacking each other or Joss Whedon over it. Should we be having open discussions? Absolutely. That's the only way that people are going to be able to address issues like this and understand where other people are coming from and be able to kind of correct it, or even have another look at like a script when they're finalizing it and be like, oh, actually, I remember when such and such happened before. This is a little too ambiguous. Maybe I'll clean this up a little bit to make it more explicit as to what I mean. You know, that sort of stuff. But I don't agree. Like, even though he's said, even though Joss has kind of gone, it's crap. It's not. Feminists did not run me off Twitter. Don't be so ridiculous. I just needed to focus on myself again. You know, I don't condone some of the tweets. Like, some of the tweets that he got are absolutely horrifying. And I don't condone that kind of attack and that kind of discussion, because the thing is I'm always open to debate. If someone takes, like, even if you listen to our Age of Ultron special, myself and Selena, we didn't agree on pretty much anything to do with the movie. Are we still friends and talking and debating about it? Even
no, they hate each other.
Later?
The end.
2 weeks later, yeah. No, we love each other. We've been talking. I think we were talking this morning. We were talking yesterday morning and through most of yesterday. And you know, we're still debating and discussing our views. And you know, we're still really good friends. The other side, you know, that's the kind of meaningful conversations that should be coming from this, not just attacking someone for something that they did. It's all about education for me. And even if you don't agree, having someone see your side of it, because everyone has different life experiences that are going to inform the way that they read media. Because especially with stuff like this, there are so many different readings you can take. And just making people open and aware to what those could be, that's the aim of the game. Not, you're wrong, I'm right, that's the end of it. It's all about education. So attacking Joss Whedon for something that he did isn't the right way to go about it. Showing him what it could be construed as, and basically being like, this is how we read it. You may not have meant it that way, but just please be aware that this is something you could take from it. Absolutely. I do agree with that. But, yeah. I don't know.
So, duh, guys, don't abuse people on Twitter. The end.
Yeah. Don't be jerks on the internet.
That's basically the moral of that. But, yeah. You know, I think maybe we should all just calm down a little bit before we start deciding exactly what it was that made Joss Whedon leave Twitter, because we don't know. So, yeah, regardless, he is no longer on Twitter, but he has given a lot of interviews recently where he's dropped some new information. You know what? Maybe the reason that he left Twitter was because everyone was so damn mad that that Loki scene was cut out of Age of Ultron that he just couldn't handle it. So, as we know, they did film something, but I guess they had to draw the line somewhere in terms of the huge cast, and unfortunately Loki was where that line was, the Loki line. They just didn't think it played, and, you know, they just thought there was too much. But we do know we're getting an extended version of the film, so most likely Loki's scene would be in there. I think we can all agree that, you know, the movie was solely missing Tom Hiddleston, as all movies are, including the ones he's not cast in.
Oh gosh, yeah, Tom Hiddleston for everything. Yeah, I really like him. He's really, really sweet.
I saw a film. I did see Age of Ultron. I went to a screening before it opened, but I did go and see it with some friends after it opened. And the first thing that when the credits ran at the end was the two of them turned to me and said, "Where was Tom Hiddleston?" Like, I was promised a scene with him. So, you know, people were aware going in. And, like, as always, there are things that get cut, there are things that get changed. Another thing that got changed was apparently there was an alternate ending to Avengers shot. And I don't want to spoil it. If you, I guess this is a good time to mention, if you have seen Age of Ultron, you can listen to our Hype joint special podcast all about it, which is the first half all spoiler free and then the second half has spoilers in it. But without spoiling, there was an alternate ending shot with a different outcome for a certain character. I'm sure you can all work out who that was. But, you know, I guess he changed his mind because, you know what, you should read the interview, because that's basically as far as I can go without spoiling it. I have to say I'm pleased that they stuck with the ending that they did rather than this alternate one, because I think it would have taken a bit of the punch out of the film. I don't know if you agree or not.
Maybe. I mean, my other thing is that we expect at this point for there to be casualties in a Joss Whedon film. So,
Well, yes and no. We don't expect them in a Marvel film.
Yeah.
And this is more a Marvel film than a Joss Whedon film, because, like, he's finishing at the end of... I mean, he's finished now. He's done after Age of Ultron. But Marvel need to continue the properties going forward. So,
yeah.
You would... I mean, that said, I wouldn't necessarily say that this alternate ending couldn't happen going forward, you know?
Yeah.
What happens in that, I think we could definitely see that going forward, but it doesn't seem like it's what Joss Whedon would have liked to see.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, more insight. And then, also, he said that he would have really, really liked to have put Spider-Man and Captain Marvel in Age of Ultron. So, I mean, you know, Spider-Man, no thanks. Captain Marvel would have loved to have seen, but so many characters.
Yeah.
There are already so many.
The interview that this came from, which was the Empire Film Podcast, did have another interesting little bit about the scene with Thor. The extended bath scene. But basically, he said that apparently the editors essentially pointed a gun at Hawkeye's farm and were like, give us the cave or we'll take out the farm, basically.
I mean, I kind of have to agree with them, because if they hadn't shown that scene, like, the scene was frustrating anyway, but if they hadn't shown the scene, I would have been all kinds of mad about it, because I hate when stuff happens, like, you can't have a major thing like this, because of what happens in the scene, it's a huge plot point, happen off screen and then be like, oh yeah, P.S. I just took a bath and then, like, all this stuff went down and, like, this is what's happening now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was frustrating enough, but imagine if we had just learnt about it all in, like, an offhand comment from Thor.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was probably, other than the extended bath field trip, was probably a better way for them to have addressed the specific point they needed to get across. Still being so very vague with this, I don't want to, like, spoil specifics for people still.
Well,
because
I know
we're
people
only about
haven't
a
seen it yet
from it.
Exactly.
But it's not anything massive, guys. If you are listening, this isn't going to hugely impact your viewing of the movie, I promise. But
yeah,
there were better ways for the outcome of that scene that they could have threaded it through and addressed it better. For example, like the reoccurring vision, maybe, like, not shaking it off as quickly as everyone else and it coming back moderately through the movie kind of thing. And you see slightly more and more until he puts two and two together when he sees something else.
Yeah.
In regards to Ultron and something else that happened.
yeah. I agree, but it seems like from this interview, the options were the scene that we got or no scene, and I'm glad we at least got the scene out of those two options, and you got Hawkeye's farm, so everyone wins.
Yeah. It would have been, well, if we don't get this, you don't get all of this.
Yeah.
Take Hawkeye away from us, Marvel. Don't be mean.
Yeah, well, anyway. And it's not all Marvel news for our Joss Whedon segment. He has said in a new interview, I guess asking about his future plans, that he was always a Marvel kid growing up, but he was always DC curious, and he sees himself on the spectrum in between. Interesting way of putting it. And that he desperately wanted to do a Batman film. So, you know, he jokes that he would like to do a DC film, but he'd be like, cool, I've got all these jokes. And they'd be like, no, 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 we don't do that here. Which I thought was funny. It was a very, like, Joss Whedon funny. Way of yeah. putting it. You know, obviously, he did try and do a DC film. He tried to do Wonder Woman, but that did not work out. So, no. Yeah, I can't imagine him doing a DC film. Certainly not the direction that the DC movies are currently going. It just seems, like, really incongruous with his style of filmmaking. And also, I would like to see him do some things that aren't... I like Joss Whedon best when he's doing his own projects, I think. You know,
yeah, his smaller indie-based kind of movies. I think that's where he excels.
I agree. And I know that I criticize him a lot in terms of his work on The Avengers, and, like, I don't apologize for that because I feel strongly about it. But Buffy is, like, my favorite TV show, you know, ever. And Much Ado About Nothing is one of my favorite movies. And, you know, I love Firefly. I love especially Dollhouse. You know, I'm a really big fan of his work, which is why I find it frustrating when he doesn't get it right, because I know he can get it really right. So it's coming from a place of love, guys. But I just stay away from franchises. Do something of your own, please.
Yeah. Well, I think with Joss Whedon, his strengths lie in more intimate and quieter storylines that's really, really kind of aimed at, like, TV. He's so good at TV because he's good at playing the long game. But when you try characters. He's so good at characters when he brings them back down and he focuses on that. But when you try and scale it up too much and make this massive epic that's kind of full of action and characters and, you know, it loses something a little bit for me. But Joss Whedon is so good at, like, dialing it back. And I don't know, his TV stuff and his smaller, more indie movies for me, of, like, that's where he always packs his punch. And I'd love to see him go back to that, at least for a little bit, before he tries anything kind of big budget again. Because big budget and the stuff that Joss Whedon does, they're two very different beasts. So,
yeah, I would agree. So that's it for our Joss Whedon section. Now, just briefly, a little bit more movie news. Like we mentioned earlier, we are getting an Age of Ultron extended edition. It's going to be a Blu-ray. It's going to have extended cut, all kinds of things on it. So you'll be able to hopefully see that Loki scene and, like, maybe some others. Who knows? Apparently the original cut was 3 hours long, and then, you know, it ended up being about 2 hours and 20 minutes. So, yeah, going to be a whole lot of new stuff happening there. The Age of Ultron took in $20 million less than the first Avengers did on its opening weekend. So, not super good news for Marvel, but, you know, it's still doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And keeping on the Avengers news, we found out that Infinity War Parts 1 and 2 are going to be shot back-to-back, and that will start next year. So, all very exciting. We also had a little bit of Black Widow news. SNL did this amazing Black Widow trailer. They do these parody trailers. It was called Black Widow Age of Me, I believe, and we certainly had some giggles over this.
So. Oh, the thing is that I was just watching it and going, they do it.
Yeah. Exactly.
I wonder how they managed to get Marvel to sign off on that and actually let them do it. Or if they, like, just, like, letting, or maybe if Scarlett Johansson got in a little bit of trouble for that. But it's parody, so I guess not really a lot to do about it.
They don't need to check it. It's all parody, and I think she was hosting, so, like, she can do what she wants. And also on the Black Widow side, Mark Ruffalo was calling out Marvel for their lack of Black Widow merchandise, so good call there. Always a fan of the Ruffs, except, you know, when he does certain things in movies. Anyway, he was saying his daughters would like some Black Widow merch, and so would all of us. But speaking of merchandise, there is a new Avengers-inspired fashion line where you can get a Black Widow. I think they have a leather jacket, Black Widow leather jacket. There's, like, it's a Captain America dress and all kinds of stuff. So if that's your jam.
Yeah, that's by Her Universe. Yeah, that's by Her Universe. If you don't like the whole dresses and tight-fitted jackets kind of thing, and you want to check out something a little different, We Love Fine just released a series of, like, tank tops that really, really work with loads of different body shapes and types. And they're all, like, Avengers-themed as well. They go across a lot of characters. And they also have this really adorable little kind of shrug, Captain America, like, really light blue shrug that's really, really cute. So, but they're really, really, really nice as well. So if you're looking for more merch, they just released their line as well.
All right, so you've got your shopping lists. And in more movie news, it sounds like the new Spider-Man movie might be called Spider-Man The New Avenger. That sounds like a terrible title, but it seems like it will also star Asa Butterfield, who sounds like he has the role all wrapped up. So, you know, make of that what you will. I think we've complained enough about Spider-Man. We don't need to go into that today.
Yeah.
We also had some new Fantastic Four posters, so, you know, for fans of that. And then on the X-Men side, we had a look at Cody Smith McPhee as Nightcrawler, and also as Sophie Turner as Jean Grey, both in X-Men Apocalypse. So I'm so excited. I love X-Men.
We got to see Jubilee, and it all looks 80s fab, and I love it.
Right? Right. Yeah. We haven't talked about X-Men because there hasn't really been a whole lot of big X-Men news, but you know, as filming goes on for that, I mean, it's like 1 year off. It's not that far. So we will definitely be talking a lot more about X-Men Apocalypse as that approaches, because if I haven't made it clear, I'm a huge X-Men fan. Huge, huge, huge. And I'm super excited for these movies, even though the last one made absolutely no sense. So, yeah, good times all around.
Yep.
Okay, if you have any thoughts on any of those stories, you can let us know on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast, or you can let us know in the comments on this post. We are about to do our quotes of the week, but before we do, I guess you can do our not quote of the week segment. There was a bit of a story in the last week where Chris Evans did a bit of a Q&A, and he was asked if he thought Captain America was a virgin, and everyone kind of went nuts about it. And I know, Donya, you have some thoughts about this, but I'm just warning you that I'm timing you, so your time starts now. And I will cut you off with some kind of sound effect that I haven't prepared.
Okay. My problem isn't the comments that Chris Evans made about Captain America's virginity. Those were actually very sensitively put. My problem is the way that the media started kind of going off on one about this and making it a huge deal that Captain America may or may not have had sex. It's not a big deal. It's not. And I really, really hated the way that it's been treated as a joke as well, because it turns the whole agency over your choice regarding your own body, which is a massive thing with Captain America, considering he became an experiment and got his, you know, his powers from a super soldier serum. You know, his choice over his own body is his own choice, whether he chooses to have sex or not. But the whole joking kind of, this makes him a man kind of thing, it's just getting old and really tired. And it's just so, so terrible the way that it's just being treated. And it's just as bad as when, I'm going to bring it up again, I'm sorry guys, when Renner and Evans slut-shamed Black Widow. It's exactly the same thing, just on the opposite side of the spectrum, you know. People taking control over their sexuality and their agency and their choices in regards to what they do when it comes to sex, whether that's having a lot of partners or having none, that is their own choice. That is not a joke, and it is not something to be held up as laughable. That's it. It's that All right. simple, and it should be, yeah, it should just be respected as far as I'm concerned.
All right, well said. So you guys can let us know what you think about that, but we are going to go ahead and tell you our quotes of the week, and I think the Flash has taken out both of ours.
Oh my God, you ever shut up, pal?
No, not when I'm awake.
What have you got for us this week?
Okay, so mine is after Eddie Thorne talks about going to speak to Hannibal Bates's grandmother, basically being like, oh, she took out a missing persons report, so I figure we could ask her a few questions. And then Barry goes, like, why anyone in their family thought that naming a kid Hannibal wouldn't mean he'd grow up to be a criminal.
Way to generalize, Barry. Jeez. Mine goes to Cisco. This is from the last episode of The Flash, where they're trying to trap Wells, and Cisco says, I put a tracker on his wheelchair, which, if we are wrong and he is paralyzed, yeah, I'm going to hell for that one. Because I love Cisco, and he's the best.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we wrap up, we have our comic corner. This is where we give you comic book recommendations so that you can get started in the world of comics based on a character or a TV show or a movie that you're enjoying. If you have any requests for these, you can always let us know on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. Have a look, see if we've done it before. If you're not sure, just ask us. We will be able to let you know if we've got one ready or if we can prepare one.
Sky, Trip, get ready for a large file transfer.
How large?
So this week, in honor of Age of Ultron, and don't forget you can go and listen to our special edition episode all about it, we have some comic book recs for Avengers fans.
Okay, so the first one up is called Avengers, the Korvac Saga. Jim Shooter's run on the Avengers is often kind of underappreciated. He approached the series from a different angle by introducing a wild card into the established pecking order of the wider Avengers universe, which was the cyborg villain Korvac. Pursued across space by the Guardians of the Galaxy, he arrived on Earth to realize his utopia, imbued with the power of Galactus. It poses some interesting philosophical and kind of thought-provoking questions about just who is in the right, whilst putting the spotlight on some crucial minor player characters, particularly Hawkeye. No bias there, clearly. The next one I've got is Avengers Assemble Volume 2. Kind of highly recommend the entire run of these. I don't know how to say his surname, but it's Kurt... I think it's Busiek. But yeah, his entire Avengers Volume 3 run is collected in Avengers Assemble, which is kind of confusing. But this one in particular contains the Ultron Unlimited story. Basically, it really upped Ultron's genocidal nature as he terrorized and rampaged through part of Europe. And it even includes the strangest family reunion ever, seriously. So if you're looking for more of Age of Ultron's titular villain, this is definitely the comic to check out. Though it follows a pretty standard formulaic storyline, it does set itself apart in its focus on dysfunctional families, the media, and ethics of artificial intelligence. So what more could you ask for? The next one I've got is Avengers Kree Skrull War. You may recognize the Kree from Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and this trade really highlights what they're capable of. Roy Thomas brings the intergalactic war between the two alien races onto Earth's doorstep, and the Avengers get caught in the crossfire. The introduction of the Skrulls as shapeshifters upped the stakes as it became increasingly difficult to figure out just who was a friend and who was foe. And with everyone from Captain Marvel to the Inhumans making an appearance, this is really one of the definitive collections for any Avengers fan. The Kree-Skrull War was one of the first major events Marvel had in its comics, and it really set the tone for future events going forward. Next one I've got is Avengers Under Siege. So this takes us away from the more cosmic battles that the Avengers find themselves tangled up in, and Under Siege grounds its story back on Earth. It revolves around Baron Zemo and his Masters of Evil launching an assault against Captain America and the Avengers, but the Avengers' biggest villain here are themselves. Zemo finds a team that are self-destructing and destroying themselves from the inside. Under siege breaks down the Avengers to their lowest point, mirrored devastatingly in the decimation of a particular building. But despite that, it highlights the Avengers' spirit in the face of overwhelmingly terrible odds and some brutally violent fights. Also, that as a team, working together, they can achieve anything. And the last one I've got is Avengers Forever. So another title from Busiek, and he really did have just a stellar run on his entire time on the Avengers. This time travel extravaganza plucks its team members from all over the Avengers continuity as they come up against Immortus and the Timekeepers. They've been manipulating the Avengers for years at this point. So from Captain America just before he quit the team to Yellow Jacket at his most unstable, each character has an important role to play in saving Earth. It's worth reading a few more of the titles on this list before you read this one, as it helps to have a little more background on where some of the characters came from. This is a title that helps clean up the Marvel continuity, but also pays tribute to countless years of great stories. But it was a really difficult feat to pull off, but one that Busiek managed in style.
All right, so there you have it. Make sure you let us know if you guys check out any of our comic recommendations. I think we had one convert to Hawkeye this week, right?
Yes, we did. It was
Amalia
great.
Amalia tweeted us that she was reading her first superhero comic ever, so that is really, really exciting. That was Hawkeye, My Life as a Weapon. So make sure you guys let us know if you try any of them out and what you think, and always let us know if you have any requests, because we can totally make that happen. And, you know, whatever you guys want, that's what we're here for. So let's get to a little bit more of your feedback. We are still running our Hulk Lies competition, courtesy of Gordon, I think that was. He thought of that classic joke. I cannot take credit for that as much as I would love to. So this is the competition where Donya is giving away an IMAX Age of Ultron poster. You just have to send us your weirdest lie about Clint, and she can't decide between them because they're also great. So we're giving you another week. You can still tweet us if you want to win that poster. There's a picture of it up on our Twitter account. We can tweet it out again. All right, Donya, what's your favorite one at the moment of the newest ones you've received? What's the favorite?
Okay, the favorite one at the moment that had me laughing pretty hard was from CourtneyGuy85. And Courtney said, Hawkeye once gave Oprah a free car, hashtag Hawk lies.
And my favorite currently is from Shelby, I believe, who says, Clint spends the entirety of Age of Ultron crying over no Miles Morales in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So there are a couple of examples for you. There's the kind of ridiculousness we like here in Hero Hype. So if you want to enter that competition, you can tweet us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. And Donya will have to choose a favorite, or she might just have to pull one out of a hat, because you guys have been really up in the game.
May end up having to be out of a hat at this point. So like Marima said, one more week, and then if one of them is truly, truly spectacular, then that will take the crown. Otherwise, I'm going to have to out of a hat.
People have had multiple entries, then they should have, like, multiple entries in the hat, you know, to, like, up their chances. Yeah. If you've sent in, two tweets, you should get two entries in the hat. So if you've already, you know, sent us one and you want to increase your chances, then this would be the time to let us know. I'm just waiting for someone to send, like, 10 and be like, it's done. Okay. So in other feedback on Twitter, let's see. Amanda said, if you're into superheroes and feminism, please start listening to Hero Hype Podcast. Your life will be better for it. Thank you so much, Amanda. That is so sweet. And Nikki says, listening to the new Hero Hype Podcast episode, and really what we all need is Donya in charge of the next Spider-Man movie. And I would agree with that.
Where do
I think.
Sign?
Seriously. Did you want to grab that one from Chloe?
Yeah, so Chloe says on Twitter, asked, if you haven't done one, could you recommend a comic starter pack? I addressed this on a very similar question that I got on a post I made a little earlier with some comic book recommendations, and basically they asked, how do you get into comics? It's the same kind of principle as this question. There's no real easy way of doing a starter pack necessarily in terms of just taking something, like one thing from across the entire comic book catalog.
Choose your favorite character.
Always start with your favorite character. If there is a character that you currently love or you want to learn more about, it's always the easiest and best place to start for getting into comics. If you have one, let me know and I will make you a little starter pack. It'll be about the same.
Chloe, if you tweet us before we record our next episode with like your favorite character right now, or even like the TV show or movie that you're most into right now that you think, you know, would be a good place for you to start, you will be in charge of our next comic corner. We will have it tailored for you on the next Hero podcast.
There we go.
Yeah.
There's our promise to you. Let me know.
Just have to tweet us.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Preferably not the day before, because a little bit of research is sometimes required for these. And then we also had a very nice iTunes review. If you guys like listening to our podcast and you're tweeting us and you're having a good time, we would really appreciate it if you could just take a couple minutes, leave us a rating and review on iTunes. It means that other people can find us and join in the fun. And, you know, we really appreciate it. It's nice to hear the nice things you have to say. So did you want to grab that, Dee?
Yeah, so this was a 5-star review from Vintage Captain, which said, I love this podcast. They're critical of what they review, but it's clear they know what they're talking about and genuinely love comics and superheroes. It's great for any fan of the genre, especially those who want a deeper discussion of superheroes and comics.
I feel like that basically summed up exactly what we're aiming for on Hero Hype.
Yeah.
Like, really nicely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I know we can be critical sometimes, but it's only because we love it.
It's because we love.
Yeah. It's because we love it so much. And we want it to do the best that it can do. That's the whole thing here. This is the aim of the game.
Yeah. And we also had a lot of comments from you guys on our last podcast post. And remember, you can always leave comments on this post on hyperball.com. We like that it started a little bit of a discussion over there. A couple questions that you had. Nina said, I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but when I listen to Hero Hype, it seems to link into so many Marvel movies. I love all things Marvel, so should I be watching this? I think if you love all things Marvel, you should definitely give it a shot, but it does start out slowly, so be aware of that. Now would probably be a good time, though, because you can like binge through a whole lot of it and catch up to the exciting part, which is what's happening right now. And, you know, it's not necessary if you like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it's like a nice addition to it if you're into Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. So hopefully that answered your question. And Michael says, I feel like hating DC has become the cool thing to do lately, and I'm a little sick of it. People have been hating on Batman vs. Superman since it was first announced with no proof to justify their hatred. People just love Marvel so much that they're looking at DC like, you're not better than Marvel, you're just copying them. But hey, this is coming from a guy who thinks Man of Steel is one of the best superhero films ever made. You know, I see what you're saying, but I would be sad if you construed like what we were saying last time as us just hating on DC, because I think if you've listened to our Age of Ultron special, you'll know that Marvel gets the same treatment.
Yes, from they us. Do.
No one escapes.
Oh boy.
No one escapes. I mean, I am definitely guilty of like, of kind of thinking when Batman vs. Superman was announced, I still think the title is ridiculous. I will never not think it's ridiculous. I can't apologize for that. That's just how I feel. I'm so sorry. But no, I would like to think we're not judging DC too soon. I think we're definitely critical of things, but as we said, it's because, you know, we want them to be as good as they can be. And honestly, like, the trailer just left me feeling so underwhelmed. And I said the same thing about the Ant-Man trailer, which was Marvel. So, no one is spared. Obviously, you know, in terms of the movies, I do tend to lean a little more towards the Marvel movies, but then on TV, I'm more on the DC side. So, you know, And I think you're kind of similar, Dee, actually.
Split. Yeah, it's yeah. It's like a 50-50 split, kind of. I'm, yeah,
and then
I'm
also, like, I love X-Men, which is neither.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the source material
in the
Marvel.
Movies. In the movies. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, so, you know, there's a little conversation happening in the comments, and I think it's a fair point where Michael is saying DC hasn't really launched their universe yet, so, you know, you can be judging a little bit soon. Then again, Man of Steel did come out, and, like, I did not think that was a very good movie, so we'll have to disagree on that one.
Though, there was a really interesting, I don't know if you guys follow, if you follow the Twitter, I linked to a really cool little video that like a post-production place did, where they added color back into the movie. And the thing is that when I watched the little clip, I was like, oh, this isn't going to make any difference to how I'm, like, looking at it. But really, ramping up the colors of the superhero movie, like the Superman movie, made me go, oh, that actually does make a difference.
Yeah, so I agree. I like Superman as a cheerful kind of guy with technical.
And maybe not even necessarily, yeah, not even necessarily being cheerful, but I like the more
saturated
colors.
To be cheerful.
Yeah, yeah, I like the more saturated color palette for Superman versus, I understand, with Batman and Gotham, you know, desaturating it. Like, that makes sense to me, but I'm not too into the desaturated color palette for Superman. So it was a really, really interesting little experiment that they did. So
yeah, you can find that on our Twitter. And I mean, I think it would have been kind of interesting if they had chosen to make Superman more colorful, more saturated, that, you know, then they introduce that as like a visual component to Batman versus Superman.
Yes.
Like, that would have been a really interesting way to illustrate the difference between them and maybe them coming together at the end. Also, that reminds me, speaking of Justice League, on The Flash last week, wasn't there a little hint to that when he's talking to Gideon and she's listing, you know, Barry Allen, like, police, whatever he is, like chief police something or other, founding member of, and then she gets cut off.
Yeah.
I was like, Justice League! It's Justice League! Just like yelling at my computer.
Yeah.
I had a Justice freak out. So yeah, well played. Well played, Flash people. That was very well done. Okay, so it turns out we had a lot to talk about this week. If you want to let us know your thoughts on anything, you can find us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. You can find us on Hyperbole.com. Please leave your comments in the podcast post there. And if we don't get to them on the show, like, we're always happy to have a bit of a convo with you in the comments there on Twitter. And if you enjoy the show, then please take a minute to leave us a rating and review on iTunes in whatever country you happen to reside, although I would appreciate the Australian one so that I can read them. because it's very exciting when something happens in my actual iTunes store. but yeah, we would really appreciate it. It's a really fun way for other people to find the show. Last time we asked you for our question of the week, what would your ultimate lineup be for your superhero team? Donya and I gave you some ideas for ours on the last show. You guys had some good ideas. Jewel wanted to point out that the rotating roster is basically the Justice League. Yes, good point. We forgot to mention that. Liz wants Team Red and Team Slightly Red, which is Hawkeye, Deadpool, Spider-Man, and Daredevil, or as Donya calls it, Team Poor Unfortunate Orphans. And
I know that was terrible. Karen told me off for that.
I think that's totally fair. And then Brooke and Maj, you guys basically named like 45 people. I can't read all of those out. I think you've just named every character that you can think of. So, I mean, fair enough. So our question of the week is, Donya, tell us, please.
If you could redesign any superhero or villain costume, who and what would you change?
So, of course, that's Suicide Squad inspired. Did you have any other characters in mind when you were thinking of this? Is there someone that you would change?
I don't actually have anything particularly in mind this time round, in all honesty. I guess my biggest thing would be, like,
not necessarily a redesign, but I like we just talked about it, the more saturated colors for Superman and desaturated for Batman. It's a really interesting visual play. I don't know. This is why I kind of want... What about you? Would you change someone?
I mean, off the top of my head, like, I would have to say the Joker, the new Joker. I just really don't like it, but I need to think about it a little more. Yeah, because the Suicide Squad costumes, they're kind of growing on me, but the Joker, I just think is ridiculous. So, and yeah. I don't think I'm going to change my mind on that, because that photo has been around for a little while now. Came out just after we recorded last time, so I've had a bit over a week to think about it, and yeah, I still hate it. So yeah. Make sure you guys let us know who or what you would redesign. I guess in non-Hot Topic outfits, you have to let us know, you know, what it would look like, and bonus points if you have any artistic skills and you can like draw it or, you know, create it in some way. That would be awesome.
Even if you have no artistic skills, go wild.
Yeah, you can also do that. We draw love seeing pictures. Or a bit of amateur Photoshop is always a great way to go.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah, so you can let us know your answers, let us know what you're thinking. Next time we'll be back with a TV-centric, amazing, bonanza, blockbuster show about Flash, Arrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then also your standard segments, so don't worry if you don't watch those shows, there'll be something for everyone. Until then, I'm Marima.
And I'm Danya.
And this was Hero Hype, as it was. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
All right.